Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Plantaholics podcast. Yes. About Hello. Plants.
It's been a while.
Yeah. But this is a plant podcast where we talk about plant-based topics.
Yep. And today we're going to cover probably almost all of them.
Yeah. We're kind of hitting a little bit of everything today.
Yeah, like, this is a little a tasting menu.
This is the charcuterie board.
Yes,
of plants. I can never say that word.
I love that. Oh, it's okay. It's a very interesting word. Charcuterie.
Oh, it was closer than I thought.
Yeah, I think you said it right.
Oh, good. Wow, that's never happened before.
First, got this. It's gonna be a good day.
Recorded.
Hey. Yes. Beautiful. But yes, today we wanted to just go over basically almost all of the careers that you can have with plants. So anything just kind of plant related, we're gonna touch on it a little bit, in theme with our usual random plant nonsense. So that's kind of the plan for today. But of course, we're gonna start off with our weekly planter action. Or bi-weekly, it is. I guess I'll start us off. One thing that I found, it wasn't like a direct interaction. This is just something I came across online. I thought it was interesting, and it was plant-related and agriculture-related, so I thought I would share. There are several Native American tribes that still harvest wild rice. And it's sold even, it could be local depending on where you live, or even Amazon has some places where you can support tribes by purchasing their harvested rice.
Wow.
So it's a more, yeah, it's like a more sustainable, it's obviously like a healthy rice right. that you can purchase and support your local, potentially local tribe.
That's really cool. So as I think I've talked about previous plant interactions, I currently live vicariously through my window, and that is as outdoorsy as I get, which is very sad because I love hiking and I just haven't left my house. And I have no reason now because it's finally cooled off here. It's not smoky or hot. I think I'm just lazy. But there is a giant weed growing in my front yard. It's taller than my mailbox now.
Oh, all right.
And I'm not going to cut it down. I just like
you sound
watching
like me.
I'm just watching it grow and seeing what happens. It's also extremely intimidating because it's a little spiky. So I kind of don't want to touch it. But at the same time, it's kind of like, wow, like you've made it so far. And I don't want to
just want to see where this goes.
Yeah, I'll take a picture and I'll post it on our Instagram.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good sized weed, and it's like all the other weeds around it, not even close. This weed is like
it's a secondary succession going
seriously.
On
there. But yeah, my yard is I've started watering it, so things are growing,
helps.
And it's a nice. Lot. I got some yarrow popping up. I've got dandelions. I got a bunch of weeds, and then this giant monster just decided to.
The one to rule them
all. Claim its throne, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I see it every time.
Right.
I look out my window, so it's kind of cool. Growing attached.
I'm very excited. I have finally bought a ticket, and I'm going to visit Tori in her new location. And
so
I'm very excited, so I will be able to confirm the presence of this weed.
Yep, as long as the frost doesn't kill it, we'll see.
That's true.
I'm not going to kill it.
We'll see. All right, so I'll dive into some fun facts about careers in plants.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, I guess this would be technically a fun fact. I think I brought this guy up before, Carlos Magdalena. He works at Kew Gardens in the UK. His entire job is basically bringing rare exotic species that are on the brink of extinction back from the dead. Like, that is his specialty.
You did talk about
that is his passion in life. Yeah. I love him. goals in life.
Seriously.
Like, I mean, come on. He's amazing. So just wanted to bring him up as far as like a very unique, very, very specific plant career. So just want to preface, like, you know, I did my best to get a good list going here, but there's probably more, and there's more specific right. careers, even within the careers that we're going to touch on today. God. Mm-hmm. All right. And then for the rest of my fun facts, I just brought up in my research just these careers and plants that I had personally never heard of, and just a little brief description of each one. If you've heard of them, great. If not, you'll be learning with me. It was Buckle this up. Is my vocab for the week. All right, there's something called an aeroculture specialist. Have you ever heard of this?
Nope.
All right. So this is someone who grows plants without soil, generally uh-huh. by suspending them above sprays of water that moisten the roots.
Wow.
So like, if you look up pictures, like it's crazy. I mean, it's like, I guess if you think of an orchid, I'm assuming they do mostly like epiphyte type plants. Right. I'm assuming, because otherwise this just sounds so crazy yeah. to me. So yeah, they're just like suspended and they just miss them. Okay. And that's how they grow.
I wonder
anyway,
if they do air that's plants whole thing. Like that.
Probably. But I mean, they don't really have roots per se.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, you know, they're not very noticeable. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. that's a whole can of worms to like go down. So if that sounds interesting to you, more power to you. That's a whole career. You're welcome.
Yeah.
The next one was an aquaculture specialist. So this wasn't what I thought it was.
Oh, okay.
so this is someone who analyzes animal wildlife in water-based ecosystems. So they're kind of trying to develop ways to better harvest fish and plants for human consumption. So I'm assuming this is mostly like seaweeds and maybe algae and things like that
right.
that could that are used in like carrageenan is like an algae product, you know, there's
right.
or we eat seaweed obviously, but I think that's kind of more along those lines. And then there's something an olericulturist. I'm not Ooh. Sure if I'm saying that correctly. O-L-E-R-I and then culturist. So that's someone who deals with the storage, processing, and marketing of vegetables.
Oh,
so that is
I was
if you are very
olives, so that's cool.
Yeah, olea.
Yeah,
olive, yeah.
I was like,
close.
Is this a packaging of olives person? Close.
It, I don't. Yeah, if they count that as a vegetable, who knows? Anyway, that's a whole thing. You can go to you can get an advanced degree in it. So
Wow. That's
a whole subject line for someone interested in vegetable processing and storage.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Not judging,
yep.
but it's very, very
Sometimes
specific. I like that.
I just stare at my pantry and think of all the things I could store. Vegetables.
If only.
Olives.
If only you were an olericulturist.
Yep. Lost opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
Yep.
Darn. the next one is an ethnopharmacologist.
Ooh.
So it's kind of what it sounds like. So it's essentially the a cross-cultural study of how people derive medicines.
Okay.
And this could include plants as well as animals, fungi, just any sort of like natural materials.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a whole kind of line of research on things like that. There's been some controversy about it as far as how they sort of discover like indigenous you
right.
know, West, you know, as opposed to, you know,
yeah.
we're acknowledging where it came from. But it's, it actually has renewed some interest, especially in indigenous communities, like in this subject.
Okay.
So it has like, it has spurred some interest as far as, you know, actually, you know, keeping it within the culture and reviving kind of an interest in it,
okay.
which is, I think it's fascinating.
Right.
So I'm glad, you know, credit where credit's due, and
seriously.
Be able to learn more about that, because that's a really interesting subject.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then the last one that I never heard of was a horticultural librarian.
Oh my gosh.
So
Sign.
It just sounds so cool.
Horticulture library card, please.
Just check out the plants.
Yeah. I guess it's like the
seed library.
Seed library, yeah, but
yeah, that's a whole
oh
other
my gosh.
Career.
Yeah, I want to be that.
Yeah. but a horticulture librarian manages a collection of literature related to horticulture.
Okay, I've done.
Yeah, so that could be at a museum, botanical garden, at universities, right. Things like that. And they're usually responsible for educating the public on the works as well.
Oh my goodness.
So that's a very
you should be specific that. Thing. You'd be very good at that. I would be that terrible. Sounds really I'd be cool. Like, yeah, so it's about plants and it's cool, so just deal with it.
You know, read it.
I mean, I read it, but read I didn't a book. Understand it, so I'm not gonna, it's just cool, okay? You should read it.
But, read a book.
Yeah. But I would just, I would just say that all the time. Well, why don't you read the book, huh? Yeah, so many questions about
this
it.
One specifically.
Yeah, that's good. I think I haven't read it, but
I'm assuming.
Yeah, I just want to get like librarians. Dang, those people are intense. They need to get paid.
Yeah,
they have to go through so much schooling and like so much education. Like there's oh my goodness, I did not realize it's more than just like stacking books.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's interesting how. How yeah, the level well, of education yeah. for, like,
how intense. I would,
all the ones I've met have been very angry.
I understand.
So I feel like, yeah, it's like, yeah, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
Like,
you guys get paid, like, nothing, and you guys know about, like, every possible topic intensely, and, like, this whole system. And
very underutilized.
Yes.
I love libraries. I just want to say that. I will say it. Every day, I really hope that's not one of these government programs that gets cut to nothing because I can see it happening.
Oh,
and
really?
I don't know. I just, it's just, I can just see that going downhill. But I really hope not because it's one of the last like free public spaces that you can hang out.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, obviously encourages education and, you know, gives people access to even, you know, more nowadays like computers and things like that if you do not have, you know, access to that for whatever reason.
And you guys, they have 3D printers at libraries. And
yeah, my what library, the hell?
I like, and it's free. I could 3D print stuff for free at my library. It's
amazing. That's insane.
Yeah, and it's so cool. I have a photography studio at my library with Photoshop, InDesign, and Illustrator for free that I could use. I mean, I have it on my computer because of work, but it's just like,
but still,
they just need a new marketing team, I think, because it's like,
I think so.
Because there's so much at libraries, and they have like, they had authors coming in, like well-known authors, and it's just like,
wow,
come on, this is amazing. People need to know about this.
And they're not appreciated. They're just the way they should be. I love them.
They're really.
I haven't been in. I really missed that. Like since COVID, like I would, you know, I would still occasionally, you know, just go hang out. And, like, it's a nice place to just like sit and, you know, be able to. I'm someone who really needs like not very many distractions to like focus on something. So like it's kind of I don't know. I can find like a nice little quiet spot and like hyper focus for like a few hours. And it's great. I love it.
It's so funny. I'm the complete opposite. There's like everything going around me, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, did you say something? I was reading this book. Like, yeah, I thought you were part of this conversation that we were having.
No, definitely not.
But it's a highly trained skill that I have.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. So anyway, to the actual kind of meat of this topic, I broke it down. Just a preface, I did get most of my information from a website. That essentially helps people find jobs in just horticulture, like plants in general.
Awesome.
It's called Seed Your Future, SEED.
Nice.
So that's a good resource for anyone looking for a job in plants.
Perfect.
Yeah. So a lot of this, I kind of reorganized their categorization because it was a little weird. They had a lot of overlap, so it was kind of like, I don't need to say this 7 times, so. You're welcome. but I, so anyway, I broke it down into categories. I have art and design, caring for landscapes, growing food, preservation, ecology and science, technology and people and plants. So just kind of some general categories that we can kind of talk about, but, we'll start off with art and design because that's kind of both me and Tori's background.
Yeah.
As far as we both studied landscape architecture at Cal Poly Pomona.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our background. We're both technically working. Tori works for a landscape architect. I work for a contractor, so I'm more on the landscape design side. So we can kind of discuss that too, and just kind of, you know, go share into that a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Because there are, you know, some big differences between the two, and you know, it's good to know when you would need one over the other, really.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think it has mostly. I would say it has to do with scale. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. I think the trickiest part is, like, you can, because I've worked for two different firms, and one of them was residential, and one of them, the one I'm currently working for, is a much larger firm, but neither of them are what you do. You work That's for true. A landscape contractor, which is closest to the first one I worked at, but we didn't do any, I think it's different. So I think you can go into...
We're design build too, so that's that's
so I think design build
a different
is its own
part two
category completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if you think we can start with design build, because I feel like that is kind of more nitty gritty. I feel like that's a good way to start, because my two experiences are kind of similar. So
Yeah. So this covers a lot of, again, there's a lot of overlap in these categories even. So that's something, you know, doing a landscape, being a landscape contractor is part of, I'm not the contractor, but I do work for one. So that kind of brings in another element. But essentially for the design portion, I'm able to draw up conceptual drawings. I can do simple details. The main difference, I guess, as well with landscape architecture, I can't, like, sign my own drawings. If you're a licensed landscape architect, that gives you kind of another clearance level, if you will, as far as being able to sign off on details for retaining walls, patio covers, structures, things like that. Whereas I typically just give my drawings to an engineer and have them just, like, stamp and do things like that.
Right.
But yeah, as far as my day-to-day, you know, it's meeting with clients and, you know, I only do residential as well. So that's something, it's definitely a smaller scale. But I do everything, you know, from meeting the clients to, you know, assessing what they need, going back and forth with their, different inputs on the project. And then doing the estimation and kind of helping see the project through a little bit and kind of being a, kind of a liaison between the contractor and, just, you know, myself as the designer. So that's kind of basically what my job entails. And that's not the same for every landscape designer. If you're just a landscape designer, you know, working purely on the design side, nothing to do with the contracting side, you're probably going to be mainly, you know, focused more on the drawings and maybe being a little more detailed than me. It's, you know, I can get away with it a little bit more since we're the ones building it as well. We don't have to be maybe quite as detailed as normal, but I do plans for people who we're not building for. So, I get a little bit of both, but that's kind of the general, things to do. So usually the plans include, you know, hardscape suggestions, obviously planting, you know, just kind of all the material selections and things like that, that I can help as well as the layout.
Do you do any irrigation?
Not typically. Okay. We almost always, again, since the scale is so small, we almost always do drip systems. Right. I know you can draw drip systems out, but for us, it's kind of like, it would literally just be a snaking line, like, on the drawings.
If you're
like,
in doing the install, it doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, if, you know, I was just thinking of this the other day. I was like, okay, if whoever's installing it doesn't know how to install a drip system, you should find someone else. Like, if they need that drawn out... let's not.
It's funny that you say that.
If it's a big scale.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because what I did, my first job was very similar, except it wasn't a design build. So we were primarily residential.
Sure.
I think we did a few like office parks here and there, which I think is pretty common.
Yeah.
We would do a lot of the same things we would do, but I worked under a landscape architect. It was his company. Mm-hmm. And so as a landscape designer, I would assist him in drawing up plans. And some of these included, sometimes I do small parks. The scale was typically smaller, primarily residential, like large residences. Sometimes parks, like I said, sometimes office buildings, but we would do the full plans and we would stamp it. So we would include details we would typically include irrigation as well because we weren't doing installation. Sure. So we had to give this to someone.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I think it's a little different is we had to be extremely detailed because we were handing it off. So it needed to make sense for someone coming in without understanding the project.
Right. Yeah. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then so it's very different from my current position where I work for a much larger company. I think it's like 30 people now. It's a lot larger.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we do primarily much larger projects for like housing developments, public parks, and just huge, kind of big, like bigger name projects. And we work with the city more often than the residential. But I think residential, sure. you work for the city when it comes to like permitting things and stuff like
that. Yes, yeah.
But with these big projects, sometimes the client is to get the approval. City. And it's just a disaster. After working with the city, I cannot believe that the government has an agenda because getting anything to go through with the city is just so much back and forth. Like, there's no way they're that organized.
Exactly. Anyone who has governmental conspiracies, no. Try to get a permit for a pool.
Yeah, seriously. Or even a sign through the sign department. They don't even understand. I swear, it's still, I am working on a monument sign right now.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting. I had to go back and forth. And it's like, they didn't understand what a monument sign was. And I'm like, you guys are the sign department. What else do you guys do? And I had to show them the drawing that they couldn't understand for some reason. Yeah.
Sure.
And still, it was like an hour conversation about why this was considered a sign and not a structure.
Right, right. I mean, all right.
Yeah, so there's no such thing as a organized government system, by the way.
No.
In case you were wondering. Doesn't exist. If anyone's corrupt, it's a single person or small group, not the entire
government. Most likely.
Just let me rest.
Can't happen.
You can sleep well tonight knowing that we're not that organized.
There's no way.
No, it's just, if you've ever worked with the city, it's almost reassuring that there's no giant corporation taking over that's government run at least.
Right.
So I think my day-to-day working at, I think kind of both positions is I'm primarily, as a landscape designer, I work under actually a good amount of landscape architects. I think almost half of my company is landscape architects. Yeah. We have like principals at the top who primarily, so I guess if you wanted to get into what I'm getting into, there's kind of different layers and you can go up to the top if you would like. So we have someone who owns the business, who started the business and started it as his own doing whatever.
With a license.
Yeah. Who's licensed. You have to be licensed to sign off on the projects and stamps.
And that varies by state. Just to throw that out there, you do need a bachelor's degree in landscape architecture, or a master's, I think, with experience, I think is the two. Again, it depends by what state you're in, but there's exemptions.
It has like a point system that the layer, which is the testing thing, they've created a point system where if you have enough experience, you can get qualified. You just kind of have to say, can I qualify to take the test and be licensed? And
they'll say,
yeah, you can qualify because you've been a contractor for this many years and taken these classes.
Right.
And if you pass the test, sure.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tricky. It's not as black and white as some people think.
Right. So yeah, definitely want to check, for your state what the requirements are. And then it's, I think, 4 or 5 part test in California, at least.
It's a 4-part test. Very... 5-part test. In California.
Five in California because they have a native plant section. Mm-hmm. But they, break it down. It's over several days. It's pretty intense. So that's just to give you a kind of that's kind of the qualifications required for being a landscape architect, licensed landscape architect.
Right. But
I
do have a few people, or at least one person in my office who is a project manager. Who has no schooling in landscape architecture, and he, but he just has the experience and the knowledge, and he has the he built up a reputation with my boss, and they hired him, and he worked his way up and is able to do to work as a landscape architect.
I
mean, he's technically
you definitely don't need the certification. I mean, the education background is great, you know, but you know, just to have that, the experience, I think is the most valuable thing, which is what I love about careers in plants too. It seems like that's a pretty common theme, which we'll kind of go into, but aside from the more comprehensive, like, science tech careers, you know, there's a lot you can do without without too much additional schooling, which is nice.
And I guess and so the top is the owner, and then we've got the sorry, it's kind of a breakdown, I'll go quick. The owner, and then it's the what are they called?
Project managers.
No, it's partners.
Principals.
Yeah, oh, the partners. So they do a lot of more of the design, and they do kind of oversee the, all the projects and organize the company pretty much.
Sure.
And then you've got the project managers who take on the projects and kind of keep track of their own projects. And then we have, now we have senior landscape designers, which I am part of that category. newly minted. And then we have the landscape designers. And so it's just kind of like a, I think the biggest thing is just the amount of responsibility you kind of tackle. Yeah. And it's all because of experience. You kind of, you can handle a lot more projects and tasks, become, you become more efficient at tasks. And that's kind of what you do. So pretty much I'm on the computer all day, which is very different from Taylor, who can, who she does a lot more site visits. And I think that was one of the biggest things that misled me when I decided to join this career. And like talking to a lot of my coworkers, it is a lot of computer work. Typically, if you work for a firm, you're going to be sitting at a desk more than you're going to be out in the field.
Sure.
That's just the nature of the project. Pretty much no matter what level you're at, that's how it usually is. Obviously, my project managers are out and about more often. They do a lot more site visits. They do a lot more. They're not doing as much drafting as I am, but they're doing a lot more like organizing, like calling clients and going to meetings, which is something I'm not currently interested in, which is why I don't want to be a project manager. But if that interests you, and you don't mind like handling like budgeting and contacting and organizing and all that fun stuff, juggling a bunch of projects, and you kind of make more decisions, which is fun for some people, not me, then that's definitely something you can build up to. But and but even they don't go out very often. I think I did a lot more site visits.
It depends.
When I was at a smaller firm, because I was like, I had to take on more responsibilities like that. So I think you have a, if you're the smaller the firm, you'll probably be exposed to more kind of variety of tasks. Like I would do soil samples. I would do site measurements. This was also residential, so it was, sometimes I had to do my own measurements. But I would talk to the client more often when it was a smaller firm. Very rarely do I talk to the client unless I'm kind of managing a smaller project or if I'm part of a meeting. So that's just something I would keep in mind if you're interested in landscape architecture.
Definitely the scale even of the firm you're at makes a big difference, like you're saying, you know, if you do want to have, you know, a hand in more variety in the work anyway, kind of more on my side. I mean, again, I'm just a contractor, but that goes the same for a landscape architect firm as far as, you know, the smaller it is, like you said, the more different variety of work that you'd probably be involved in. And then you can, you know, kind of maybe start there like you did and kind of see what you're interested in mainly and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I definitely recommend trying it out, trying multiple. I definitely think starting residential is the best.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really hard.
Less
to
pressure
go.
On.
It's a lot. And you just kind of get used to, I think the biggest thing what people also don't realize is how important just learning the programs are. And learning AutoCAD, learning Bland Effects. Those are like, even like Photoshop and stuff, definitely really important, but just If you're good at AutoCAD, your job is just so much easier.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
All the design.
You'll be on there a lot.
All the design.
Even I'm on there a lot.
We got was almost wasted for me at this point.
Yeah.
Especially,
it's all AutoCAD now.
Yeah. And I was talking to one of my coworkers the other day. It's like, we learned all of this design knowledge and I'm limited because every city wants it to look the same and they have standards.
Right.
So yep. We literally yeah. have to use their park benches because they like this bench specifically for this city or this
sure.
county.
Sure.
So it's like,
yep. That's very, very common. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's always going to be, I mean, number one, that was one thing that always bothered me even during our schooling was like, you know, we had no budget limitations.
Yeah.
They gave us no limitations. They were just like, here's a site, mm-hmm. go for it. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like that, my mind doesn't work that way. I'm like, here's a water park. Like,
right.
I don't know what, like, that's so stupid. Like, you need
yeah.
some, like, form of guidelines to design something.
I think
it's always
yeah.
going to be money. I think it's
right.
like, almost always in my experience. I mean, I'm in residential, but like even with the cities, you know, it's like, you know, they want you to keep it very simple.
Yep.
It's like, let's use the same plants. We know these work. Let's,
yep.
let's not,
oh, yeah.
not go out of the box. And I'm even in residential, that's kind of what my boss is trying to get us to do. It's like, you know, yeah, let's just keep it as simple as possible. We'll mm-hmm. make the most money. It's like, yeah, all right. I'm not that, like you said, it's just kind of like, why am I here?
Right.
kind of wasting all this knowledge. Like if we're just gonna
yeah.
plop the same thing down everywhere. So there's, you know, there's ups and downs
yeah.
to it.
There's definitely firms out there that push the envelope and
sure.
they kind
yeah.
of change the standard. And I think there's also, you could tell by an era. Like every era
yes.
has like a style, and so you can
oh,
tell
yeah.
when certain plants are used. You're like, oh, that's that
yeah.
age. That was that. It was
yeah,
the
yeah.
60s, 90s.
Those junipers,
yeah,
in the
or even like
80s, 70s.
Which firm did what? Because they were so
yeah, yeah.
It's just it's pretty funny, but
yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely a cool, unique job. That
yeah, and if you look up landscape architecture, like. You could be designing a myriad of different
mm-hmm.
things. Like, you're not limited to houses or parks.
Right.
Like,
there's tons of different firms.
There's ones that specialize, like, in skate parks
yep.
or just golf courses or, like,
yeah,
basically any outdoor. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything outdoors. Like, you can design trails.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much random,
yeah.
cool opportunities out there, I think. So that's kind of a good... and again, with the difference with landscape architect firms and just landscape design, you're probably going to see a lot more of that, you know, larger scale as a landscape architect than you will as a landscape designer.
Right.
Probably, I would say majority of the time is going to be residential,
mm-hmm.
Which again, it can be very fun if you know are working with a client and you're in a position you can get very creative with it and. You know, there's a lot of opportunity there too, but
you don't have
as far
to worry
as scale,
about wheelchair access or
no. Yeah. The last time I
oh
had to do
gosh.
That was at our office and that was about it.
Yep.
Or for some of our older clients.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. It's required at
anyway.
All parks, so you can't really do
yes.
That. Or yeah, like every, there has to be equal access to seating. So every seat has
right.
to be.
Right.
ADA, or it's not, it's what, can't call it ADA anymore, it has to be just accessible.
Ah.
Yep.
Got it.
So many
right.
fun things.
All right, well, we've probably talked enough about our own jobs.
Yep.
We'll maybe take a quick break and actually dive into some more artistic careers and plans.
Yep.
All right, welcome back, everyone. So we're going to continue our discussion about some careers with plants in the field of art and design. So we kind of gave a summary about landscape architecture and landscape design, but let's kind of talk about some of the other options here. So in sort of, again, going to more of the art realm, there are just literally careers as an artist, graphic designers, and illustrators are all careers that could potentially set you in a path related to plants.
Right.
So illustrators, I think, is the best example. You'll find plant illustrations in botanical books. Mm-hmm. You'll have, you know, in scientific journals. There's actually a lot of applications for illustration in the field of plants. So that's something you might be working for a horticulture magazine or, again, the scientific journal.
Well, there's even like 3D modeling nowadays for plants.
That's true.
I looked into that for like video games.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have seen some, I think it's Red Dead Redemption. I don't play video games, but mm-hmm. my ex would play that one. Yeah. Oh my god, the plants in that were amazing.
Yeah. Or like...
like, they actually looked like what they said they were.
Yeah, I have a game called... it's the Zoo... not Zoo Tycoon, it's Zootopia. No, not Zootopia, that's a movie. Dang it. Planet Zoo.
Oh, okay.
And I have so many plants. Literally, I'll just... ooh. I laid out an entire zoo in the plants.
I love it.
I literally just did all the planting for it. It's so fun. And Ethan's nice. Like, isn't this your job? I'm like, but there's no budget. I can do whatever I want.
These are my plants.
Yeah. But it's so beautiful, and
yes,
they do such a great job. I looked into it, and you definitely need a computer background and modeling
key. With all of those, you definitely need some sort of art degree. Yeah. That would be under graphic design, so mm-hmm. that would, you know, you definitely want to have some background in graphic design to get into that.
And illustrating.
No worries. No, that's a good point though. Yeah, especially with graphic design and say with landscape architecture design, you're going to want a pretty good solid background in computers, which if it makes anyone feel better, I am horrible with computers in general.
Cursed is like, a good word.
Computers just hate me. I don't hate them. I mean, I kind of do because it's sort of mutual now.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can do it. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. AutoCAD's really simple. Yeah. You just got to practice. Mm-hmm. That's the best advice I can give on that. As far as illustrators, so the minimum education typically is a bachelor's degree for graphic design, or I'm sorry, for illustration. Mm-hmm. And you know, probably just mainly to develop a portfolio,
right.
To kind of be able to, have that to display to, potential clients. Mm-hmm. And the average salary is around $49,000 according to, again, this, Seed Your Future website. So take that with a grain of salt. I'm going to give like average salary. So obviously it's not totally representative. There's a big range, I'm sure.
Right.
But this is just kind of the average set.
There's also a really great website to check for salaries is the Government Bureau website for jobs.
Oh yeah.
You can, that's how I looked up. Like if that's I want to move, it tells you like the average salary, high, average and low salary of every, almost every city. And it kind of makes it shows a map.
Would probably be the most important. Yeah.
Because
that makes sense.
It makes a huge difference depending on location. And I'll share a link of that as well.
Yeah. No, that'd be great. Yeah. Again, take this. I don't know where they got this random.
No, it's still super helpful.
Range.
Yeah.
So just a random idea. Yeah. Yeah. Starting point is great. All right, so some other ones, kind of along the lines of landscape designer, you could be an interiorscape designer.
Wow.
So that's where you would actually design most likely homes, offices, things like that, with plants within the office. So you'd be kind of in charge of picking plants and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. You can be an ornamental horticulturist. I know it at Cal Poly. I don't know if it still is, but that was a major for a very long time.
Yep.
That's where my boss got his degree in ornamental horticulture there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still there. I think they might have cut that.
Yeah, I think they might have got... for some reason, I had a feeling they got rid of it.
Yeah.
But it's essentially a horticulture degree, but with more of a focus on ornamental plants. Mm-hmm. But you still have that strong kind of plant science background to go along with it.
Yeah.
So one of the careers that I'm very interested in, so I just wanted to touch on it very briefly. I'm definitely going to do an episode on this. I'm actually looking to get my certification in this coming up this fall, is a permaculture designer. So we're trying to observe natural ecosystems and recreate that in a landscape to provide the most efficient way, in this case specifically with agriculture, typically. As far as creating almost a closed system where you're not producing, at least you're producing as little waste as you can, It's essentially the most permaculture stands for permanent agriculture, so it's the most sustainable form of agriculture that can be produced, essentially.
Right.
I always feel like I'm explaining this horribly, but
it's a hard concept to explain.
It's very complicated. Yeah. And again, I do want to do a whole episode on it because it is my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
Permaculture actually doesn't just refer to landscaping. It's a more general term that, again, it implies this more holistic, like, more of a systems thinking. So this, you'll see this in, like, other, even, like, therapies.
Yeah.
And it's a way to, like, run a business. Like, you'll see this term other places. I think technically what you're designing is an ecological garden. That's more of the technical term, but they call it a permaculture designer because that's the concept behind what you're designing.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I will definitely update you guys once I start my classes and kind of get a better picture of it. But if you like to create kind of nature-inspired landscapes, kind of it's like creating a little mini ecosystem, essentially. Like, there's nothing that sounds cooler than that to me.
Right.
So anyway, that's what I'm going to try to jump into. But anyway, a lot to unpack there. But just to give that overview, typically the requirements for it would be a bachelor's degree in something related. There's not very many schools, from personal experience looking into this, there's not a lot of schools that offer it as like a full-on major. But a lot of even community colleges offer classes that you can take and potentially get your certification for. Or there's a permaculture association for the United States that a lot of these certification programs are run through. So you can kind of they're more on the side type classes that you can take to get that. And this said the average salary is like $77,000, but I can't imagine that to be true.
Making so much.
I have no idea. I'm like, that doesn't seem right, but I don't know.
Hey.
I don't see a lot of jobs in it, so maybe once you get into it,
I can see
you're
that.
Very much needed. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping, because that'd be amazing. Anyway, that's that's kind of a whole process with that. But again, it's more on the artistic side too, because you're still doing the design part of it. Mm-hmm. And one of the last few ones here is a plant videographer.
Uh-huh.
So that's something, or even photographer, kind of same line there.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be taking pictures of plants, whether that's for like the Discovery Channel, like type things, or just, kind of general work in the media for doing things like that. So that's a whole other segment. Again, not a lot of formal training required typically for things like that. You know, you could probably get your degree in media arts or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the average salary for something like that would be around $65,000, they said.
Yeah.
The last one for the kind of art and design field is a floriculturalist. Oh my gosh. Floriculturalist.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be more along the lines of a florist.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be designing floral arrangements.
Oh, sounds so
whether that's that could be for weddings, for, you know, just having your own kind of floral shop, things like that. Usually, maybe, they're saying, like, potentially, maybe an associate's degree, like, but most likely you'd probably be owning your own thing, or, you know, I don't think there's a lot of requirements for that. And the average salary is around $65,000 as well.
Man, everyone makes more than I do.
Right?
And I have a freaking degree. What is this?
Yeah, we're in the wrong line of work, let me tell you.
I should make flower arrangements.
I know. That sounds amazing.
Right?
I don't think I'm that good at it. I try to practice. I want to get good at it. One day.
I have no idea. I mean, I feel like I would be, but I have no reason to think that, honestly.
I thought I would be really good at it too, but I don't know. I only also use the flowers in my yard, and that's not really what I grow them for, so I have a limited palette, and I'm going to use that as an excuse forever, so that's fine.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. One kind of subcategory of art. I did writing as kind of a subcategory.
Okay.
So this could be blogger, garden writer, specialize in PR, social media strategy, all the things that we will never do.
Yeah.
I mean, not writing, but social media strategy is not in our wheelhouse.
I just don't care.
I know. I just, yeah, I wish I did. I don't wish I did. I don't care.
I'll hire someone to care for me if I had to.
Right? Oh, 100%. Yeah, that'll be needed in any business venture I have, because it's not going to happen.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. So moving on to caring for landscapes. So we kind of talked a little bit about being a landscape contractor a little bit, which would be included in this category. But there's a lot of, kind of in the non, or again, a lot of overlap with agriculture, I think, in this. But just the kind of general caring for landscapes. All right. So caring for landscapes, we have aerial applicator, which is kind of what it sounds like a crop duster.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
A very fancy term.
Yeah.
Again, a little bit more on the agriculture side, but there's overlap. You could be an arborist, an ecologist, an environmental engineer, anything from being a groundskeeper, horticulturalist, hydrologist, irrigation specialist, public garden worker, plant technician, or a landscape maintenance specialist. So that's kind of, on the maintenance side, that's a whole, that would include groundskeeping, things like that. That can require like a certification or maybe like a pesticide license, things like that. So that's usually pretty easy to break into. A little bit more lower on the salary range, maybe like the average is about 37K, somewhere in there.
Yeah, we work with a few irrigation consultants.
Oh, yeah?
So they do all of our irrigation. Yeah. Like, sometimes, we're just getting so busy that we can't. We used to do our own irrigation, but we've been shipping it out to other people. And it's just, like, people who have the experience and knowledge, and they just take on. They just do the irrigation.
Yeah, no, that's a really good kind of specialization, I think.
Yeah, and you can also work for irrigation companies that set, like Rainbird, Hunter.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
They also offer to do irrigation for people, so you could, I think, work for them as well. And still,
right.
That's just the experience I've had with under that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, you can definitely get really specific with with that kind of thing, definitely. And just, I would say, like, maintenance in general, it is so hard to find a good landscape maintenance person. If you have any background knowledge and have like any sort of a green thumb, you will never be out of a job. Yep. Along those lines, you can be a lawn care specialist, because I get a lot of lawn questions, let me tell you.
Definitely the most misunderstood piece of landscape.
Yeah. Grass. Yeah. Seed it over, people.
Yeah, you gotta makes the grasses.
Yeah. Yep. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
you can also be a logger. You can manage sports turf specifically. That would be, I'm sure, full-time job for a lot of places. Just kind of a general gardener. You can work at a garden center. You can own or work in a greenhouse. That would be cool. So that's what I have for caring for landscapes. So there's some variety in there.
There's a lot of variety.
And then the next category would be growing food. So this would generally be agriculture. Lot of variety in here as well. A website I kind of want to break into it. Like I was talking about permaculture and things like that. A website that I like to use is called goodfoodjobs.com. I do recommend that to everyone, just a random PSA if you're interested in anything relating to food. I'm talking, if you want to be a chef, if, anything to do with a lot of plant-related jobs on there. Like, it's called Food Jobs, but it's like, what food is.
Food is plants.
Let's do this. It's all there. They've got it all. They've had some amazing job openings over the years, so I would check that out if you're interested. So I kind of already mentioned the, I didn't talk about that yet. So you can be an agronomist, a culinary horticulturalist, which is essentially a very fancy way of saying chef. Potentially a chef that grows their own ingredients.
That's pretty cool.
Which, again, sounds amazing. I would love to do this so much. I did not have any background in, actual schooling and cooking, yeah, but I would totally do it in a heartbeat.
To be a chef.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I like to wing it. Yeah. It usually comes out all right. So that's something, they do say it does not really require, some jobs may only require like a high school graduation level. That probably be a little bit more entry level, if you want to get up, you know, again, kind of owning your own restaurant, right. I would assume.
Yeah.
A little bit more of a requirement there. So it could be anywhere. Yeah, anything between like a certification to an advanced degree, mm-hmm. It could be your requirement. And then the average salary is around $69K for that. Let's see. And then an enologist, that's someone who is responsible for the chemistry and biology of wine. So you can actually get a degree in an enology. Average salary about $53K. One of the main schools. Yeah, I know. I did look it up though, and Davis is actually a good school for enology. Mm-hmm. If anyone is interested in that.
Yeah, I think they have a really good agriculture program.
Yes. Yeah. Anything agriculture. Yeah. Look at the Cal Polys. Look at the mm-hmm. Davis. At least in California, those are some of the bigger names. And then, of course, you could get into farming. So, just being a farmer, organic farmer. It's organic farming's definitely becoming a little bit more popular, so that might be something more to jump on. Usually no formal requirements as far as, you know, maybe an associate's degree if you want to get ahead up, but, you know, usually it's just training. You know,
land.
Making sure you have, but to get a job, like, at a farm, they may require some training on the job,
right.
But otherwise that's about it. Average salary around $45K. You know, just they're only the people who give us all of our food. Why should they get paid a lot of money? I don't know.
They only do like really hard labor and
hard. Easy.
But let's pay people who throw a ball around like three times as much on weekends.
I think so. 8,000 times as much.
I don't get it. You guys, there's something wrong with this.
Yeah, there always is. Always is. You can also get into food science. You can be just a general grower, hydroponic specialist. You can get into maybe some marijuana products with that knowledge. Mm-hmm. There's a integrated pest management specialist. So you'd be, you know, helping people with their pest problems.
You would never be out of a job with that.
Oh, you would never, ever, ever. Always needed. Mm. And like I mentioned earlier, the olericulturist, if you want to specialize in vegetables, you could be a plant breeder, a plant diagnostician, a plant inspector, or a plant nutritionist. So a plant nutritionist, again, it was one of those that it wasn't what I thought it was.
Right.
Essentially, it's more on the science side. You're looking at different chemical compounds needed for plant growth. Formulating potentially fertilizers or just kind of working more on the outside of it. So I was like, oh, damn, that sounded cool until I read it.
Like, yeah,
I've always...
chemistry.
Nutritionist seems like the wrong term for that, but I'll let it slide.
you're providing nutrition to plants, which is pretty much
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they can do it organically, I'm cool with it.
Right.
You
mean like permaculture?
Oh my god, you would have been laughing. Okay, so my mom thought I would like this show on Amazon Prime. It's called... Shit, I already forgot the name of it. Anyway, it's some guy from the English version of Top Gear. He's always had a farm, but then like at age like 60-something, mm-hmm. he's like, I'm gonna work it myself. Oh my god. And like within 10 minutes, I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. Oh my god. He has like 200 acres. And okay, so I hate tilling.
Oh,
so the whole first episode is about tilling and how long it's taking him to till. And I'm like, this is not necessary. I was watching with my mom and like, she just got this whole lecture. And she's like, we don't have to watch this. I'm like, yeah, it's giving me anxiety. I don't think I can watch this anymore. Because he just spends like days and days and days tilling, and I'm like, don't till your soil. You're killing your earthworms, you're killing your microorganisms, you're killing your soil health, you're creating a hard pan of soil that's never gonna come back. Oh my god. Anyway, sorry. Okay, that was my rant. I will stop. So you can also be a
later.
Oh no. That was good. Thank you. I like that. All right, so you can also be a plant propagator. Mm-hmm. So you can specialize in just the reproduction of plants, which would be pretty cool. You can be a produce inspector or a produce marketer, or even a soil specialist. So that would be super important for agriculture. As I just briefly ranted on, mm-hmm. you could yell at people about tilling. Yeah. That could be your job. That sounds like a dream. I love it. You can also be an urban farmer, which is pretty much the same thing as farming, but in an urban environment. Yeah. So you can, kind of do more of a almost community garden style where, you know, smack dab in the city. Mm-hmm. There you go.
It's coming very popular.
Perfect. It is. I saw a job opening on Good Food Jobs the other day for a urban beekeeper.
We have a lot of those in San Diego. Actually, yeah, I follow one in San Diego on Instagram.
Yeah.
I bought one of her books.
Sounds super cool. Nice. So I guess I should add that to the agriculture plant related. It's, you know, bee related, plant related.
Yeah, and I think with that one, you don't need a background because you can just.
No.
I mean, she has.
Yeah, that was what was crazy.
Just has a fine arts degree.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, they're like, yeah, just take our 10-day training program. Yeah. You're set. Like, holy crap. Yeah.
Yeah, she does her own classes.
I'll do
too,
that.
Like, certify, and she, like, has people come work with her to train and stuff like
it's
that.
It's awesome. Yeah. I love bees. I love them.
I definitely want my own hive.
Yeah. Me too. 100%. Mm-hmm. It's happening. And they don't scare me. No. I would love to be covered in them. I mean, I'd probably want the gear on, but...
Yeah. I don't know if I want to be covered in them, but I would love...
Oh, I'd love to be covered in them.
I'm definitely not afraid of them.
Yeah. It's all good. All right. So a little bit into ecology and science relating to plants. So these would probably be, again, more your careers, a little bit more of an advanced degree requirement. So the first one I have was a biosecurity specialist, which is actually kind of helping prepare against, like, biological warfare.
Okay, that's pretty dang cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I like that. That's very interesting.
That guy must have the coolest name tag.
Biosecurity
specialist. God, if I ever made a TV show, that would be my job.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. The sunglasses you put on would be, like, taking off the black and white ones, or, like, black ones, and you put on, like, the weed-shaped ones.
Anything that happens.
Yes.
Got you covered. Anything plant-related and security-related.
That's great.
Oh, my God. You could be a biochemist, a biologist, specifically in plant biology, you're usually an expert in different vegetation. This could be like flowers, grass, algae, shrubs. You can get real specific with it. Again, even could have some overlap with agriculture on that front if you get into vegetables, fruits, things like that.
Get into forensic botany.
Yes, exactly. A lot of, a lot of options to go from here. But usually you'll be kind of studying impacts on the ecosystem, even medicines, a lot of ways to go with biology in general. Same thing, next career is botany.
I skipped ahead,
obviously.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. But forensic botany, there's so many ways you could go even with these, like, these majors are very, very broad.
Yeah.
So you can definitely, once you're, I think it's easier to describe these because once you're in school, since you kind of have to get get a degree in these to continue, you'll be able to kind of find your niche and get a little more specialized once you're in there. But with both of those, there's careers in medicine, there's careers in law enforcement, obviously, with the forensic botany. Lots of different options there that you can kind of explore. Usually, again, they require at minimum bachelor's, but probably most likely a master's or a PhD for a lot of those. Speaking of those, there's also conservation biologists. Focusing a lot more on, the ecology side of things. You could also be an ecologist. So that's another subfield of biology where you would kind of... you can focus on plants, but it's a lot about more systems thinking. a little bit more on, you could even go into, like, evolutionary ecology. Mm-hmm. Lots of little subfields within all of these, too.
I looked into that job, and you actually can make pretty good money doing that. Like, yeah, those positions. Yeah. It just would have been counterintuitive for me to go back to school because the cost wouldn't
But
the jobs sound absolutely awesome. A lot of it is visiting sites. Some of them you travel the world.
Yeah. And yeah.
I mean, a lot of it sounds like you're going to be, I think the other thing that deterred me was you're kind of on your own a lot in these remote places. So you're kind of away from home. So I would have been away from my partner too many times. But it definitely sounds like an amazing job, and I really was interested in it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, a lot of really cool. Field biology was another one I had listed. You could be a forest manager or a forester. Yeah. So typically, a lot of jobs in forestry, it's kind of misleading, I guess. Yeah. You're often working more on the lumber side of things.
Oh, interesting.
That's typically, I mean, you're helping kind of navigate the balance of how much lumber is being removed, but a lot of your job is like deciding which trees to cut down.
Yeah, it's kind of like working at like a national park as a forest ranger. You're like, gotta, like, go on hikes all the time. And it's like, a lot of the time, like, you're actually kind of doing a lot of, you're kind of by yourself in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Closing a park for the most part. Maybe looking for missing hikers. I mean, I still want to really do it, but it's also apparently really competitive. It's really hard to get those jobs.
I can imagine, because you get to live there.
Yeah, you have to live, cool. Like, you have to live on site pretty much, and you also, a lot of retired law enforcement take those jobs.
Yeah.
So it's very, or like military, so it's kind of hard to get those positions apparently.
Yeah, I don't think I'd quite fit in there. Not exactly.
Still sounds cool, but it's apparently hard to get in there.
Yeah. So you can also get into habitat restoration. That's a whole field. Horticulturalist, obviously. Natural lands manager. You could be a geographer, plant geographer specifically. Just do kind of general research, in any of these kind of fields, I guess. You could be a researcher specifically. And there's also urban foresters, and that's something that can maybe give a little bit of a different twist on the on the typical forestry career, but basically they manage more of the tree populations in urban settings. So again, a lot of tough decisions to be made there as far as keeping and saving trees or having to cut them down, but still important work for communities. Mm-hmm. And then urban planning is also somewhat related to that. So that could be a whole other, this probably should have been really in the science section, but kind of overlooked that.
We can do whatever we want. We don't have to be crazy.
All right, let's see what else we got. As far as, you could also get into education within the science field. Conservation biology, we went over that. Entomology, you could kind of go more on the insect side of things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that would be helpful as well for pest management and whatnot. Let's see, we did go over the ethnopharmacology. There's also ethnobotany, so that's fairly similar as far as studying cultures, just very generally cultures and their association with plants over time. That's a little bit more on the history side of things.
With the entomology, you can get into forensic entomology as well.
Oh, yeah.
They bring in a lot of entomologists on cases a lot as well.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All the decaying matter and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the times, like, for example, they'll determine the time of death depending on the larval stages of a fly or something.
Right. So, yeah.
So, kind of cool.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Just keep fun a lookout. Random information I have that's true crime related.
Why not?
Practically useless.
Plenty of that. Yeah. All right. So a few other scientific careers here. You could be a formulation chemist. a geneticist. You could get into, let's see, microbiology, even. Again, a lot of random biology related things, molecular biology. You could be a mycologist, so you could study mushrooms, fungi. Oh, one of the ones that I hadn't heard of was a nematologist, so you literally study nematodes.
Oh my gosh, how crazy is that?
That sounds amazing.
That sounds mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
I like it.
Jeez.
All right. You could specialize in plant morphology. I think that could also be kind of a forensic thing as well. So that's more the physical form of plants and visual identification. Let's see, even plant physiology, you know, to kind of more understand diseases and things like that. That is a pretty high average salary of 81,000, just to throw that in there.
Probably because it could be used for like pests and, or like,
that's true,
crops and agriculture, I bet.
Yeah, that's,
I
more,
feel like that's where the big money is in plant science, is in food and pest control production.
Yep, sadly, yeah, yes. and then a pomologist, they study fruit and help with the cultivation of different types of fruit. So that's kind of fun. Not kind of the same 50K average science salary, more typical.
It seems like that's on average unless it's like a specialist.
Yeah, so that's kind of the norm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about what I've got for science.
Nice. Okay, yeah. So I have a question for you. Are you done with all the careers?
I still have plants. Okay, and
then
people.
I'm gonna let you keep going.
Okay. We'll get through this last section quick here. So people and plants, I kind of use that to define just any job relating to the interaction with people and plants.
You say?
Oh yeah, plant interaction. I like it. Yeah, that's exactly what this
dare
is.
Dare I say?
I love it. So one thing, I actually applied for a job that was kind of similar to this. I just didn't know what it was called. An extension agent.
Is this the education one?
Yeah. So usually it's associated with the university, but it's someone who develops educational programs to help people with community development, agriculture, environment, things like that, especially like in youth education and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. So you could also be a horticultural lawyer.
Yep, I could see that.
Kind of interesting. Yeah. I mean, even environmental law, I feel like that'd be kind of on the same lines here.
I knew an environmental lawyer. It does not sound as fun as you think.
No, it sounds horrible, number one. I mean, just being a lawyer sounds horrible to me, so anything related.
But if you're interested, go for it.
Hey, we need him. Yeah. It's just not going to be me.
It just was not my cup of tea.
No. So one of the main kind of people-related jobs that I wanted to talk about was horticultural therapy. We might touch on this later in a separate episode, so I won't get too crazy into it, but essentially you're helping people, whether they're in like a rehab center, hospital, you can work at schools, community gardens, retirement centers, even correctional facilities. And you're essentially providing a form of therapy through the growing of plants. So you'll be teaching them how to most likely like grow food plants or things like that, but generally it's to help mainly therapeutically, but also sometimes vocationally as well. You can kind of get motor functions and things like that to kind of improve mobility. So that's a really kind of interesting work, and it does remind me to kind of a field of landscape architecture that we didn't really touch on would be what's it called? Medicinal gardens? Or is there a better word for that?
Is there healing gardens?
Healing gardens. Okay. Yeah. This kind of reminds me of like a good example of that would be like in a facility for patients with Alzheimer's. Like you try to put in plants that were probably popular during that generation's time. Like there's a lot of things like that can trigger memory via scents and things like that. So that's a whole like landscape architecture thing. But it reminds me of horticultural therapy because that could be kind of part of that too, with using plants to help people in recovery. Super cool field. I've looked into that as well.
And that's usually what's great about landscape architecture is I feel like it encompasses a lot of these.
There's so much
that you can incorporate. Like you may not specialize. Yeah. Or you could specialize in designing these gardens. We've had professors who specialize in Japanese gardens, and that was what they did.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, that's kind of why I think I got into landscape architecture. Landscape architecture. Just the thing I say all the time that I cannot say today.
Yeah,
but you can do healing. Like, we've done, like, hospital gardens. You do indoor hospital gardens, and you do, like, so it's like everything kind of can be under that umbrella. Which I think is
right.
Why that occupation is pretty dang cool. If I just say something.
I agree. So for horticultural therapy in particular, usually some sort of certification is required. Mm-hmm. There are universities that offer programs, and the average salary looks like around 65K. I feel like that's a little high, but
yeah, I don't know.
You never know.
Yeah,
you could find something cool. Mm-hmm. We don't know. some overlap here as far as the kind of interacting with people side of anything in sales. You could be a teacher, even just doing even the landscape architecture field, like there's a lot of interaction with clients and things like that. way too much. And just any sort of design, really any career, most of them you're gonna have to interact with people at some point. But that's kind of a general overview of some of the more related careers to people, as opposed to plants. It's a good marriage of the two, I would say. I think that about covers it. I've got a little more, but I think we got enough overlap.
That's a lot. Yeah.
I've covered most of it.
It's a good amount of job.
There's a lot to go on there, but is your question still applicable at this stage?
Yes, it was more of a summary question. If you had a dream plant job, what would it be?
That is a very cool question. Okay, do I have to have a dream job in the scope of my abilities?
No.
Or...
No, not at all, because mine is not within my abilities.
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's so hard.
It's a very difficult question. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you marinate, because I've marinated this all right. A lot.
All right.
God, I cannot speak at all. Okay. My dream job would be to research and follow species of plants and animals that are extinct and work on improving their environments to prevent extinction and work on habitat restoration for vulnerable species.
That was very succinct.
Yeah,
I like
trust
that.
Me, I've thought about this a lot. Like, because I don't know if this job exists. I am not qualified. Don't think I could qualified, but...
It sounds fantastic.
Yes, that would be what I would love to do.
All right. I think mine would be a combination of, like, 18 of these jobs. So it might be a little bit tough. I would definitely want to work something in the permaculture field for sure. If I could, this has been my dream for a long time. So, like, if I could own my own, like, farm/homestead that I also rent out for, like, weddings and stuff. So, because I also love event planning.
We can do this.
I know. I really want to do this. And maybe I also do, like, horticultural therapy at my farm.
Yep.
Just to throw that in there in the mix.
There's land for sale where I live right now with a bunch of trees.
Yes.
We can do this.
Yes.
We'll split it.
Forest gardening.
Yep. 50-50. We can do this.
All right.
Make an event.
All right. I don't know how practical it is, but, you got to live your dreams. Mm-hmm. So, would we like to end in a small pun, or?
Let's do it. Pun off.
All right.
Pun off.
There you go. That sounds more
enjoyable. Less aggressive.
Than a war. Less aggressive than a war.
Who wins?
All right.
Does anyone ever win in a war?
It's true.
We all.
Did we already do the word fur?
Nope.
like Douglas fir. Oh, okay. Well, that came up.
Okay. Let me know.
Oh, let me set ready. My timer.
Okay. All right. And the word is fir?
Yep. And... oh, why this always takes me so long. Okay, go.
Are you for real right now? I am furious with you for taking so long. Don't worry, I'll infer on what to say next. Just
I am first about it to interrupt you.
Good job. I'm gonna furnish my backyard later.
I have very firm opinions on that.
Well, affirmative action is necessary because of that. I've used them all.
that was a good run though. Brush your dog's fur.
Oh, that's cheating.
That wasn't it.
You gotta still stick fur to your answers.
Yeah. All right. Time was up.
Damn it. God, it started out okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plantaholics.
Hope you can join us next week for more plant talk.
In the meantime, you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook or visit our website at plantaholicspodcast.com.
Thanks, everyone.
See you next time.